Good morning. How are we today? Wonderful. That is great. Who was at the parade yesterday? We all cooked. It was warm. Have you noticed? Yeah. My skin is just a little sunburned. Not too bad, but it's fun. Anyway, but as we are now today, we are gathered in the house of our God and here to receive from him and to return to him praise and thanksgiving for all he has done for us. And as we gather together, we gather under his authority. We come here to hear from him. He is the one who has answers. We're the ones that have questions and needs. And as we begin, let us open up our hearts and our minds to him. And let us remember the day that we were brought into this family of God and under his authority in our baptism. As we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand. Heavenly Father, you call us to be your own. And one of our responses is worship. So I thank you that you have gathered us here this day to give you praise. We pray that everything would bring you honor and glory. All of us who pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this, and ask for grace. I want to do better. Rejoice that God says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive you all your sins. In the said and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Sing a new song to the Lord. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Good morning. My name is Brian Falls. I'm an elder here at St. Mark's, and it is my privilege to read the first scripture reading for you this morning. From the book of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, verses 25 to 32. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear, you Israelites, is my way unjust? Is it not your ways that are unjust? If a righteous person turns from their righteousness and commits sin, they will die for it. Because of the sin they have committed, they will die. But if a wicked person turns away from the wickedness they have committed and does what is just and right, they will save their life. Because they consider all the offenses they have committed and turn away from them, that person will surely live. They will not die. Yet the Israelites say, the way of the Lord is not just. Are my ways unjust, people of Israel? Is it not your ways that are unjust? Therefore, you Israelites, I will judge each of you according to your own ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed, and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, people of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. Thus concludes the first scripture reading.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things? They asked. And who gave you this authority? Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin? They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Then he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you that tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. At this time, I invite the children forward for a children's message from the Falls family.
All right, come on down. Take a seat right here. Hello. All right. How are y'all doing this morning? Are we good? Okay. Did you hear the gospel reading that was just read? About the man with the two sons and all of that. Okay. Well, good, because we're going to talk about it again. So did you get a second chance? All right. So I want you to tell me if this ever happens in your family at home. Oh, hey, Sawyer. Hey, I noticed there's some dirt around here. Do you think you could vacuum up here for me today? You're working on the car? Seriously? Okay, that's fine. You and Daddy study the car manual and do that instead. Hey, Sadie, it's really dirty up here. Do you think you could vacuum for me up here?
Yes, Daddy.
You will? You'll put down your book? What book are you reading, by the way? Oh, Love and Logic Parenting. Awesome choice. All right, so you'll go ahead and vacuum for me? Okay, can you get that done while I work on the rest of children's message? Okay, thanks. All right. Oh. Sawyer, I thought you weren't going to vacuum. Well, thanks for doing that. Sadie, I thought you said you were going to vacuum. No? Huh. Well, thanks, Sawyer. I appreciate that. It looks really great up there. You can go ahead and put it away now. I appreciate it. All right. So, who actually did the job? Well, God was working through. Yes, absolutely. That is a great answer. Which kid actually did it, though? Sawyer, who said no, or Sadie, who said she would do it?
Sawyer,
but he told me no. Huh, interesting. You want to, here, keep going on that.
I'd love to. Thank you, Mrs. Falls. In both of our scripture readings, it talked about somebody saying they would do the right thing, but then not doing the right thing. Does anybody ever do that? You say you're going to do something. Everybody listens and obeys the very first try. Nobody wants to make eye contact with me. I know when I was a kid and still as an adult, I say, yes, I'll take care of that. I'll unload the dishwasher. I'll take my dirty clothes and put them in the hamper, or I'll put the clean clothes away. And then that time goes by and it doesn't happen. Well, what about our faith? What do we learn in Sunday school and with our teachers that we do what kinds of things because God loves us so much? What should we do? Anybody can say it out loud. We have a quiet crowd this morning. That's unusual.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know what to say either. Well, what's something you say you'll do but then you don't do? Sawyer, do you want to help out? Clean my room. There you go. We know that we should do things like keep our rooms clean, but we don't do it. So what about the person who says, I don't really feel like doing that, but then they do it anyway? God says that we sometimes say we're going to do something, we don't do it. But you know what I learned from God? I learned that even when I don't follow through and do what I need to do, He does. In the song we just sang, we call God a promise keeper. Do you think it's a good thing to be a promise keeper? What promises did God make to us? Now is when you can say something about Jesus.
Jesus died on the cross to save us.
That's right. God promised a Savior. He promised a Savior to the people in the Old Testament through Ezekiel, and He promised the people in the New Testament that Jesus would die for them and take away their sins. Even when we don't keep our promises, God does keep His promises. Do you know what we get to do? We get to go tell other people that God keeps His promises. Can we pray? Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, we are sorry when we don't keep our promises, but we are so thankful that you do keep yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Thank you, kids.
All right, kids, it is now time for little worship. So 4-year-old through 4th grade can meet at the cross. Where's the cross? There it is. It's coming. It's going to be in the center aisle real soon here. And you guys can go get teaching for yourself. Parents, we do bring them back. It'll be about right around the end of the sermon time. They'll be coming back in. And with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you would be here this morning, Lord, as you have promised to do. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts, Lord. Help us as we open your word and work to understand it. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, giving a little bit of a running start to the message for today. What's Jesus been up to? Anybody know? Let's see. Just got done doing the Palm Sunday triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Okay? So that was kind of a big deal. Then he went to the temple, and he overturned all the money changers' tables and stuff and kicked everybody that was selling things out of the temple area, which was kind of a big deal. And then the teachers, the leaders, the religious leaders of the people came to Jesus with this question and asked him, "By what authority are you doing these things?" Now, when they came to Jesus, Jesus was actually in the temple area and he was teaching. He was also doing something else. He was healing people. Okay, so the poor and the sick would come to Jesus in the temple area. He would heal them and then he would teach them. And in the context of Jesus doing miracles at the temple publicly, the religious leaders come up to him and say, "Under what authority are you doing these things?" Which is kind of entertaining because in the Old Testament, the authority comes from the signs that come with the prophet. In other words, the prophet comes to town and he says, "I'm speaking for God." And then the people would say, "Well, how do I know you're speaking for God?" And then God would give him some sort of a sign by which he would authenticate himself, because only somebody who comes from God is able to do these things. I mean, go all the way back to Moses in the Old Testament. You'll see the beginning of this, right? Moses comes before Pharaoh and says, "I'm speaking for God, let my people go." And God, and Pharaoh says, "Well, how do I know?" And Moses took his stick and he threw it on the ground. And what happened? Yeah, this is not my favorite sign. Snakes, not great. But nevertheless, that was the sign. And he picked up the snake, which is where you really start to wonder about Moses. And then it becomes a stick again, right? And then he had the hand thing, right? He took the hand and he put it in the fold of the robe. And he pulled it out and ta-da! It has leprosy, which had to freak out Pharaoh. I mean, this, you know, contagious disease that causes you to die. It's not great. And all of a sudden, this prophet standing in front of you with his leprous hand going, "I'm not touching you." Anyway, so then he took his hand, put it back in the fold, he pulled it out, and ta-da! It's all healed, you know? And so, but the thing is that the way Pharaoh would know that Moses actually is speaking for God is because he is doing miracles. And so Jesus is standing in the temple area doing miracles, and that is the context in which the Pharisees come to him and say, "Oh, by what authority are you doing these things?" Okay, so Jesus does the a very good political thing here. You know, he could have been a good politician. He answers a question with a question, right? So the Pharisees come to Jesus and says, "By what authority are you doing these things?" And Jesus turns it around on them and he says to them, "Tell you what, I'll answer that question, but you have to answer me a question first. Tell me about the baptism of John," right? And you guys know the John, right? He was the forerunner of Christ. He was the voice calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." He was the one who was supposed to be preparing the hearts of God's people to receive the Messiah who was to come. Again, another great big theme out of the Old Testament that the Pharisees very well knew, but somehow persuaded themselves to neglect. And so when Jesus said to them, "What do you say about the baptism of John? Was it from a guy, or was it from God?" And now, this is an interesting thing, because most of the time in the Bible, it doesn't give you a window into the brain of the person in the story. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't tell you how they were thinking. It just tells you what they said and what they did. In this case, it actually gave us a window. It said, here's what the Pharisees were thinking. And what they were thinking was this: if we say that the baptism of John comes from God, Jesus is going to respond, "Well, then why didn't you believe him?" And if we say it's not from God, it is just a human thing, then we're afraid for the people, because the people believe in him and we don't want trouble. And so they came back to Jesus with a profoundly short answer. Ready for this? We don't know. All right, these are the great people of the studying the Bible. They spent their whole lives researching, and they knew so many things. And at the end of the day, they just come to Jesus and say, I don't know. And it's not just that they came back and saying, I don't know, but it was the logic that got them there. Here's my question. These men of Scripture, these men who were supposed to be the ones who would teach everything that comes from the Word of God, when they were confronted with this question by Jesus, where is the one place they did not go? The Word of God. See, if they had gone back to the Word of God, and if they'd have looked at what the Word said, the Word would have naturally brought them to a very definite conclusion. Because it would have been, I mean, how many times in the Old Testament did we talk about the Messiah that was to come? And that Jesus was, as he taught, he would taught that, you know, this is what I was, I'm doing this. You got it now? I'm doing this. You know, and it said that when the Messiah came, the sick would be healed and the deaf would hear and the lame would walk. Did all that happen? And in fact, it was in the middle of happening when they asked the question. And so it makes you scratch your head a little bit. But the trouble is this. The reason Jesus answered the question with a question is because the first thing Jesus wanted to do is try to establish a common source of information. You understand? I mean, if you have two people in the room and one person totally believes the Bible and the other person totally doesn't, are you going to be able to have a discussion and come to an agreement or an understanding, or are you just going to disagree at the end? Because you don't have a common basis of understanding the world around us. One person is saying, this is what's true. Another person says, this is what's true. Well, how are you ever going to come to agreement? Right? Well, and what Jesus did is he basically made the Pharisees expose themselves and say, we are not using Scripture. And Jesus says, well, if you're not using Scripture, if you are not interested in God's truth, then how in the world am I going to be able to convince you of anything? How am I going to be able to show you who I actually am if you're not interested in looking at what God has said? You get this? And so the Pharisees, they know they've been owned, but I'm not sure they actually understand how yet, right? I mean, they just got stymied, and Jesus like sidestepped the answer, and they still didn't quite get it. And so Jesus tells a parable. And the parable, there's the two sons, right? Okay. And so you tell me, which son is worse, right? The one who says, yes, I'll do the chores, and then doesn't do the chores. Or the one who says, I will not do the chores, but then later changes his mind and goes and does the chores. Which one's worse? The first one is worse? Are either of them correct? No. What would be the right way for the children to act? Yes. That they would say yes, and then they would do it, right? Because, I mean, think about it. I mean, especially back in those days, for a son to tell his father no, to openly defy his father, is a big deal. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not a small thing. It's huge. And so for the son to defy his father is a big deal. That's shameful. But if a son does something shameful, but then later comes to terms with what he has done and repents of it and returns to being the obedient son that he was supposed to be in the beginning, we all acknowledge that that son is at least moving in the right direction, right? Instead of going from obedient to disobedient, he's going from disobedient to obedient, which we say is better. Ideally, the son would be obedient and then obedient, correct? That would be the ideal. So tell me, with the Pharisees, what were they doing? I mean, John came and he taught repentance and he preached our sin and he told the children of Israel, prepare for the coming Messiah, repent, come to terms with how sinful you are and all the things that we are doing wrong, and return to the Lord, return to God's will, return to what God wants from us. Let's be honest. And let us come clean before God. Let us repent and receive the forgiveness of our God. And the Pharisees, they said, no. They said no. Okay? Well, does that happen? Do people get it wrong first? Anybody done that? We get this, right? And now, here's the next thing. Jesus comes along and he says, okay, John came out preaching righteousness in the wilderness. I am coming completely different. He was out there in camel's hair and eating bugs and gross stuff, man. What is it with these Bible guys? You know, grabbing snakes and eating bugs. I mean, anyway, I'm so glad that's not on the menu these days for pastors. It's much better this way. But anyway, but the thing is that, you know, John came in poverty preaching holiness, right? And Jesus came being very, very real, walking around, talking to whom? Anybody who would come to him and listen, anybody who was willing to deal with the sin in their lives. And so most of the time he was dealing with the sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the people whose lives were really messed up, so much so that the Pharisees were annoyed because they're like, hey, if you're going to be one of us, you know, the teachers and stuff, you got to come over here and act this way. And Jesus is like, no, no, no. I came to take care of the people who are repenting. I came to help those who are lost, right? And so here we are. Jesus is, we're in this situation where Jesus is talking, is teaching and healing the people who want to come to him. And the Pharisees come to him. And the Pharisees don't get him. They don't understand what he's doing because it doesn't make sense to him. It's just not how it's done. And because they don't understand Jesus, they judge him. And they try to put him on the defensive. They try to say to him, who are you to change all this? Who are you to act in a way that we don't act? Who are you to minister to people we don't minister to? Who are you to say things that we don't say? Who are you to do these things? And Jesus turned it around on them and said, but where does your authority come from? And their authority just came from their own thoughts. Their authority just came from their own ideas. Their authority came even from their fear of the people. And in that, God, Jesus just exposed them and said, you guys don't have the authority anymore. You guys said no to John. Now you're saying no to me. The ideal person, the ideal son would say yes and then yes. The bad son would say yes and then no. The better son would say yes or no than yes, right? Where are the Pharisees? They're saying no and they rejected Jesus. They rejected the message. They rejected the gospel. They rejected everything that was offered to them. And they were the ones who should have known better. And we'd love to be able to just poke at them. Wouldn't it be nice? I mean, wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to get to the part of the sermon where it hurts us, right? But the thing is that we are tempted with this all the time, that we want to try to heal the or bring together the tensions that exist in life. You know what I mean? We got a bunch of people out in the world saying all kinds of crazy stuff, right? We got people in the world who are, you know, proponents of transgenderism, proponents of homosexuality, gay marriage, the acceptance of all kinds of things. We have the so many things. I mean, everything from, you know, divorce so many things that we have just over time accepted as normal, accepted as acceptable. But where do we get that from? I mean, are we getting that from God's word? Or are we getting that from our own imagination? Are we getting that? And when we get those ideas into our brain, do we stop thinking in terms of what does God say about how we should live? Or do we get more into the idea of who is God to tell me these things? I mean, does he have the right to tell us these things? Or if he tells us these things, is he in the wrong? By what authority does he have authority over us? This is dangerous territory. And it's so easy to fall into because there's such pressure in life to conform, you know, to be part of the group, to be inclusive, to be understanding, to be loving. And the problem isn't so much that we're supposed, God would definitely say be loving. It's just a matter of how do we love? Do we love by agreeing with people's false conceptions, or do we love by speaking truth in love? So this is a hard thing. Pharisees, they finally got to the point where they were just like no and no. But there are a lot of people that follow Jesus that are the yes and no, right? That in the beginning, when Christianity is new, they're all about Jesus is Lord and Jesus is awesome and Jesus is, we follow Jesus, we give our life to Jesus, and we're so gung-ho about this. But then we start to learn and to grow in this, and we start understanding that to be Christian means that in a lot of ways we live at odds with the world. And it's not that we don't love the people in the world, it's just that we have to acknowledge that a lot of what's going on out there is not God's plan. And that it doesn't bring God glory, and that if we're going to be loving Christians, it means we have to know what's right. And the temptation is to start judging God rather than to subject ourselves to his authority. And to ask real questions. To really seek to understand what God's word says. To understand what it means to love each other. To understand what it means to speak truth in really difficult situations. To how it is to help people to find a better way to live, which is going to start with following Jesus. You know what I'm saying? So whenever we go up to somebody and they're living a lifestyle that we don't agree with, do we just pick on their lifestyle? Has that ever worked? Or how about we help them understand that Jesus actually loved them so much that he was willing to die for them? You know, that there's people out there who are hurting because they've been abandoned, they've been betrayed, they've been frustrated. They really truly believe that there's nobody out there who cares about them. And we get to come to them and help them to understand that not only does the God of all creation know them and love them individually, but that he died for them so that he could live with them forever? That is what Jesus did. And when people understand that, they all of a sudden, the Spirit works in them, and they are going to be far more understanding of what it means to follow God once they're interested in following God. So when we are working in the world, we never lead with, here's all the things you're doing wrong. It's, if they're not Christians, do you really think they're going to follow Jesus? You know, I mean, are they going to be interested in keeping God's law? But instead, what we got to lead with is this. I know a God who loves you. I know a God who died for you. I know a God who wants to, he's walking with you all the time and wants to be the God of your life, wants to help you through all these situations, wants to be the dominant person in your life that helps you to make decisions, helps you to understand the world around you, and wants to help you understand the eternity that he has created for you. And so as we go, guys, listen. It's easy for us to say, you know what, the Pharisees, like, these people are all like Pharisees or something. They're all saying no and no to Jesus. The thing is, the story's not over yet, right? We want to think in our heads there's some people who can't be saved, but is that true in any way? And if that's true, then doesn't that give us a lot of responsibility to actually speak the gospel? Because how will they know if nobody tells them, right? And if we believe that God, that the Spirit works through the Word and that we get to speak God's Word to people, then we have the responsibility to go out there and to share this message so that the Spirit can work through the Word of God that is coming out of our mouths and that their hearts can be changed. Because I really believe that the Spirit has the power to help them say yes. That He has the power to give them faith. That he can change lives. He's changed all ours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God. Lord, you are a God that can change anybody at any time, a God that has the ability to turn around somebody who is so far down the wrong road. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord. Help us to keep our minds focused on you, Lord, and our eyes upon you and upon your desires and upon the grace that you have for us. Help us, Lord, to speak your truth. And Lord, I pray that that truth would continue to yield a crop, Lord, of people who seek after you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, it is now time for us to continue our worship. We're going to continue by collecting the offering. As the offering is collected, I ask that you would please record your attendance in the folders that you'll find near your seats. And as we continue our worship, let us sing together.
Friend we have.
trials and temptations. Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful?
In a moment, we're going to be doing something that brings me so much joy, and that is professing our shared faith in the triune God. And it brings me such joy because these words of the Apostles' Creed came from, there was a baptismal creed from the early church. And so these are words that have been said for, professed as what is the Christian faith for almost 2,000 years. And these words have been passed down generation to generation to generation all the way to us today. And so as we stand and profess this is the faith that we believe in, we're doing with Christians who died long ago, those who have remained in the faith all the way to today. So I might just stand as we profess our shared faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Merciful Lord, you founded your church upon the proclamation of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Purify the tongues of your servants, that the tongues of the wicked may be silenced. Turn them from their evil ways, that their sins may be washed away. We also ask that you would encourage us by your Holy Spirit, that we may not lose heart. Make us to be of one mind and will, that we may serve you with gladness, doing the works of your kingdom here and throughout the world. As well, Lord, we pray, sustain all fathers, mothers, and children, husbands and wives, friends and neighbors, laborers and employers, and teachers and students. Enable us all to serve our neighbor within our godly vocations, delighting in your loving kindness. Merciful Lord, grant the encouragement of Christ and the comfort of his love to those who suffer. This day we especially pray for Jan, Bill, Stephanie, Doris, Sherry, Terry, Joshua, Randy, Tony, Theo, Bessie, Carl, Don, Jim, Carol, Marissa, Casey, and those that we name in our hearts. In every affliction, prove yourself a ready and worthy Savior, especially to those who believe. And lastly, Lord, enkindle your divine light in us, that we may stand united as Christ's own body, holding fast to the word of life and shining brightly in the midst of this world's darkness. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Together we pray, as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
So lost, I should have died.
Please stand. And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
Setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. I'm reaching my hands to yours, believing there's so much more, knowing that all you have in store for me is good. It's good. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Doubts behind. I'm giving my hopes and dreams to you, Jesus. I'm reaching my hands to yours, believing there's so much more, knowing that all you have in store for me is good. It's good. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day.
I will stand upon your truth.
And all my days I'll live for you.
All my days I'll live for you.
And I will stand upon your truth.
I will stand upon your truth.
And all my days I'll live for you.
All my days I'll live.
Today is the day. Rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day.
All right, please be seated. I have some announcements I want to highlight. If you want the full details, check the end of the back of your bulletin for most details. But starting with education stuff. We finished up the Pets Unleashed, and now we're doing a new Sunday school. And with that, I want to invite the students who are kind of preschool through middle school to go back and meet Ms. Lauren in the back for where you guys are going to the gym. As well, we have a different middle school offering that Pastor Bob and friends are going to be teaching with the theme of Be Bold. And so I want to emphasize again more details in the back there. There's a new ladies' Bible study starting up today that I believe is for 6 weeks, led by Denise Kasten. She says each week that study will be looking at a different woman of the Bible and how her story impacts us even today. And if you make it this week and can't make it next week, that's okay. You can keep coming. They don't necessarily build on each other, so kind of pop in and out as you're able. And then I'm going to be starting up a new study for adults and high school youth, which will be starting out meeting here. In two words, what is it about? The Bible. I know, real profound. But what I'm trying to drive out actually is looking at the main story, the main narrative of the Bible. What is it that God's trying to communicate from long ago and still communicates to us today? And that's what we're thinking about. So I invite you to consider going there. A couple more things I want to highlight. We have a Dine to Donate that is at Camilla's tomorrow. Raising funds for Guatemala. And so 10% of the sales go toward providing food for people in, I'm not going to pronounce that right at all, La Fragua. Well, he said, if you could hear it. Anyway, then we got the poinsettia sales, 2 more weeks left to place an order. And as well, we have a communion training come up, First Communion. So if you're somebody who is... sixth grade families, but also possibly 7th, 8th, and you haven't had training yet in First Communion, and you're interested in that, Pastor Bob, at the end of this month and a little bit into November, is going to be having an opportunity for that. Like I said, more details are in the back of your bulletin. Check that out. Otherwise, thank you so much for joining us in worship this day. May God bless your week.